Thank you very much, Jeremy. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Lions training camp, we'll get to that coming up at 7:35. Some bad news we received yesterday, and we'll see what happens. But yesterday was, for those who follow golf, and actually for some of those who don't but like the majors, and like watching sports when they get up, because it started, the leaders teed off around, 9:30 yesterday morning, was the final round of, it's the British Open. I don't care if they call it the Open. I'm calling it the British Open.
Okay? You're a rebel.
That's right. Well, I know.
Yes, you're right on the edge.
Exactly. Anyway.
Hope you don't get canceled.
So, Scottie Scheffler, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, wins it again by four shots, and he is a machine right now.
He's so consistent at what he does.
It's incredible. So now he's won 29 years old. He's won four majors. Tiger Woods has the same thing. He won his first major when he was 24. And they both had the same amount of distance time in between the first and fourth major.
It's a remarkable stat. Mm-hmm. What was it, 1,197 days in between when they won their first and fourth, the exact number. The biggest difference is Tiger did that between the ages of, 20 and 24?
Yeah.
The 24
first one was at 24. And Scheffler's...
No, his fourth one.
His fourth one was 24, and Scheffler's is 29.
Right, yeah. So there's 5 years difference there. So will he ever catch Tiger Woods at 15 majors?
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. Because of that 5 years. Yeah. That's 5 years in Tiger's prime.
Correct. Now, in Scheffler's defense, I don't see... Now, some of Tiger's problems were... Physical. Well, besides, no, before we get to that, the back injury and things like that, you can't account for. What I don't see, and you never know, but I don't see Scheffler being addicted to sex like Tiger was, or addicted to adultery, whatever words you want to use.
Right.
And obviously that kind of screwed him up a little bit. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. I'm still not necessarily buying into that. It seems to me like that was more of a, we got to come up with a reason. And because I know he would, he was ducking the driver from his, girlfriend? That was his wife, his girlfriend, whatever.
That was his girlfriend.
Yeah. Aside from that, it seems like, Scotty is more methodical at what he does. And Jack asked me this yesterday, and I'm no expert on golf. Trust me. I am one of those guys that follows more of the majors. I do follow Scotty Scheffler just because I think I know he's not exciting, but to me, he's fun to watch because he's so consistent. And Jack asked me, what is it that makes him so good? And I told him, he doesn't make mistakes.
For the most part, yes.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, nobody's perfect, so they're going to happen. But his mistakes are further in between. He is just, it's like that slow drip of water. He is just always there.
His ball striking is impeccable. He's for the most part, he's, especially his iron plays, they're all straight. Yeah. And when he's putting, like he was putting this year and this week, you can't beat him.
Well, he changed his putting stroke.
Yeah.
And they were talking about that on Golf Channel on the weekend. He's he's obsessed with competition, even though it may not show. He's one of those guys that's absolutely just... Right. So that's going to fuel him to continue moving forward. I think he's got the demeanor to maybe be... to get the Tigers Grand Slam, or to win that many, I think that's crazy talk right now. I do think he could approach 10.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think he could get the double digits.
Which would supersede anything we've seen besides, Woods and Nicklaus. And
right.
We're throwing out the guys from pre-war guys and all that stuff. It's a different game. But, I think he could go down as the third best ever. And who knows what the ceiling is beyond that.
So I've got a stat for you. You mentioned his putting. Mm-hmm. This weekend, inside of 10 feet, he was 59 of 63. I mean, and that's where you just, when you don't make mistakes, and hey, you got a chance, you're 5 feet away for par, and you nail it every time. Or if you have a birdie opportunity and you nail it every time, mm-hmm. that's where he just doesn't dig himself a hole. He's not always the leader out of the first round.
Right.
But he's always right there. And through 4 days, when you don't make mistakes, mm-hmm. and I'll a little bit put Oakmont in its own category because that's a whole different animal.
Right.
But that to me is that's his superpower, is the fact that he is just so consistent and he doesn't have a whole lot of self-inflicted wounds.
Right. By the way, you brought up Oakmont. That's the one he hasn't won yet. Will the U.S. Open be to him like it was to Phil for so long?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, the cool thing is about that, Stone, is actually where I wanted to go with this. So that's the last one for the Grand Slam for him.
Mm-hmm.
The Sunday of the U.S. Open next year falls on his birthday, his 30th birthday. Oh, I mean, it's sitting on a tee to happen.
Write the script now. Start the movie credits.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. On Father's Day. Father's Day.
Oh, wow.
Birthday. Completes Grand Slam. Where
is, oh, it's at Shinnecock.
Shinnecock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They, you know, start the tears now.
So he reminds me of Tiger in this way, is that I said to Evan walking out of here on Friday, I said, it's time for Scotty to go out and post a 63 and own this thing. He didn't quite get a 63, but I just kind of felt like he's going to vault up, get a decent lead.
And then just hold it.
And then you got to come get him.
Yeah.
Tiger was a great front runner.
Oh,
he was unbelievable with 54-hole lead. Like, I'm like, this thing's over.
Yes,
nobody's. Absolutely. He won't falter. So the other guy's got to shoot 66 or better to get him. And that group of people is like three because the rest of them are so far behind.
And they know it.
Yeah. Right.
So they're pressing.
Yeah.
And when you press, and again, I'm no expert in golf. But I know when I try and do something, it's usually not happening.
Right. And the guys who shot the really low scores, they were down like Wyndham Clark. You know, thankfully he didn't beat up. He didn't, you know,
it's like
damage the locker
back
room.
In the Tiger era, though, right. And Wojo called them the country club softies.
Right.
It was the Wyndham Clarks who had no pressure on them and Bryson DeChambeau who went from 144 into the top 10.
Yes.
Because there was no pressure. Where was Rory with posting a 64?
Yes.
You know, that doesn't happen. It didn't happen to Tiger.
By the way, that Rory shot on Saturday where the ball came up, that was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen in my life. That ball that he was standing under or wherever it came from, that could have been embedded there for like 5-6 years. You have no idea.
Right.
That was crazy. 248-539-9797. So
I'd like to know from our golf elite.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger was 24 when he hit his fourth major. Scottie Scheffler's 29, and it doesn't look like he's showing any signs of slowing down. He's been so consistent. Can Scottie Scheffler get to double digits? Can he get to 10 majors? Could he possibly push to get to where Tiger was? Or do you see him on the same level right now with the way he's playing? Now, maybe it's just that he can't hold that same level for as long as Tiger did.
Right.
That might be the easy answer.
Well, Tiger's last one was, what, about 11-year difference? 11 years in between his 14th and his 15th?
Yeah, he got his 14th in 08.
Yeah.
And then it was the Masters, like, right before COVID, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, is he there? Can he be there?
Right. And the other thing I want to know is, you mentioned, Scotty's not the most exciting human being on the planet. I mean, the biggest thing, personality-wise, was his little kid yesterday going up the hill and falling down. That was great. That was precious. That was beautiful. So he's kind of dull, but I don't hold it against him. It might hold him back as far as endorsements and things like that. However, there's nothing wrong with being really good at your job, being a great athlete, and being dull. Who's your favorite dull athlete?
That's a tough question because the definition of a dull athlete is, hey, they might be great, but you just don't really know a lot about them.
Right.
Or you don't know what they're doing or what they're accomplishing.
I won't say he's my favorite or whatever, but I'll tell you who fits this role perfectly. Not current. Tim Duncan.
Yeah, I was just going to say Tim Duncan. He's probably the greatest dull athlete of all time.
Akeem wasn't exactly Mr. Exuberant either.
Yeah, there's a slight more flair to him, but that is who I was going to say. I love him. I think he's one of the most underrated players.
Duncan? Oh, yeah.
No, not. Oh, okay. No, Olajuwon. Yeah. What about Federer?
Yeah.
Was there much spice to him ever? Usually it was more Nadal kind of carried that torch. And right. obviously Djokovic, once he came on.
Yeah. I mean, Federer towards the end showed a little bit more personality, but not much.
Detroit Stafford?
Exactly. But he's, you know, Federer's, you know, he's from Switzerland. He's neutral. So, no, he's not going to offend he's not going to offend anybody, you know? How about, you know, Connor McDavid's not exactly a ball on fire. He's like the greatest hockey player in the world. I wouldn't call him dull per se, but, you know,
He's in Canada.
That's true.
And I do know he's marketed up there.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, 248-539-9797.
Hey, in sports, when you're sidelined by an injury, and unfortunately we've heard about some of them recently, it is personal, and the same goes for life. That's where personal injury attorney David Femininio steps in. And trust me, after an accident, you're going to need an attorney who makes it personal, and that someone is David Femininio. His slogan is Get David, Get Paid. Well, to him, it's not just a slogan. It's his promise to take care of you. So if you or someone you know has been injured, tell them to call David Femininio at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
We're discussing Scottie Scheffler, and not exactly the most exuberant personality, but who cares? He's a great golfer. So we're asking you to, you know, lack of a better word, who's your favorite dull athlete? And we dull it mostly personality, but also on the court, you know, or on the field or on the ice. Are they dull that way too? Like Tim Duncan was as great as he was a dull player too. I mean, well, he had the turnaround bank shot and all, and he was great. The big fundamental. All right, 248-539-9797. Let's do some ticket text, then we'll go to the phones. Somebody says Cade Cunningham. I think it's a little early for that, but yeah, you know, that doesn't show a lot of personality.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he's getting better. You don't see a lot of commercials. He did that thing for the.
So when I think of dull, I think of guys that aren't there. They're like not huge self-promoters.
Right.
Their antics after they do something spectacular on the whatever their playing surface is, they don't, it's not a me type of performance.
Right. We've got tons for two locals. Barry Sanders.
Sure. I think he might be the definite. Now, what he did on the field, like there was, everything was spectacular about that.
There's nothing dull about him.
No.
There was nothing dull about me. And Nicholas Lidstrom.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he just
showed up.
Just showed up and was the best defenseman in the National Hockey League for years and years and years. Somebody wants to know that Scotty can't be considered a dull athlete because he's a golfer and golfers are not athletes. Golf is not a sport. Okay.
I'm not going to get into
that.
Well,
yes, okay, yes. Wojo. Yeah,
yes. You and your athletes.
Mm-hmm.
How many hot dogs can you eat?
Kawhi Leonard. That's.
Kawhi, yeah. I would put Kawhi in that category.
And
yeah,
and his most exciting thing he ever did was the laugh at that press conference. Even that was dull, but it was funny.
Uh huh.
Justin Herbert, your boy.
Yeah, I might even say more Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
At that, because obviously, you know, if we're still talking about him as, is he a top 10 quarterback? But he's won a Super Bowl, been to another.
Yeah, and he's great in the other one.
Too. Yeah, and the fact that, I mean, like the tush push. Like there's really only a handful, not even a handful. There's like two, three quarterbacks. You think you could even do that? He's got an entire play named after what he can do special on the football field, yet people aren't necessarily sold on him. He doesn't have the, I'm going to celebrate and, you know, do the, you know, the belt like Aaron Rodgers does, or you know, the Superman like Cam Newton did.
I don't know if there's, I can't put Hurts there. I view him differently. I feel like there's a smoothness to him And the way he's bounced back from critical moments throughout his career in college and pro,
right,
versus Justin Herbert, it's just like, hey, I show up. I don't win big games, but I win against bad teams. I got a good arm. It's very Stafford-ish, and I don't know who he is.
Yeah,
and he's on a lost franchise as far as I'm concerned, well, LA Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it is, I mean, he's of the lesser of the two franchises in a city that, unless they're winning, they don't really care about their football teams.
Right. Let's go to Chris. You're on 97 on the ticket. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Sony. How you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. You guys kind of stole my thunder, so Barry Sanders, the most obvious electric, best football running back ever, but every time he would do anything spectacular, score, get an 80-yard run, whatever it was, never showed it on the field, man. Would walk the ball up to the ref, maybe toss it to him, go right back in the huddle. Nothing dull about his game at all, but you never seen him go over the top, you know, and celebrate with anything that he did, really. So that would be my pick for sure. Definitely electric on the field, but
yeah,
he was just all about his business, guys. You know, and I really respected that, watching him do that, because football, you know, it's kind of gotten to big celebrations, so on and so forth, and some of it's okay, some of it's over the top, but
yeah, he was definitely the best. Let's take one more. Dave in Clinton Township.
Hey, I'm going to go old school quarterback, Roger Staubach.
He was kind. He was dull. He was dull and good, but he served our country. Yeah. Damn it!
Yeah, and you know, hey, you can say the same thing about your boy's running mate. The admiral was kind of dull too.
Yeah,
David Robinson.
Yeah,
there wasn't a lot of flash there.
Well, they learned that at the Naval Academy. Yeah, that's right.
Don't we cut the list off at people that were on black and white TV?
No, there was color for that.
Yeah.
I've seen black and white film of Roger Staubach from his college.
Oh, yes. All right. It's time for news, and here's Heather.
Well, a baby is safe and sound after going on a high-speed joyride that ended in a crash. So it all started at a Port Huron gas station. Frantic mother called police saying that her car had just been stolen with her baby sleeping in the back seat. Well, it turns out a teen had stolen the car, not knowing that the kid was there in the car seat in the back. Took it for a joyride, right? Police started to chase it. This guy, the kid, was going about 100 miles per hour before it crashed into multiple parked vehicles. Thankfully, though, baby, blissfully unaware of what was going on, not injured at all. Mother reunited. The 16-year-old has been arrested. But cops are also using this as an opportunity to remind everyone, hey, don't leave your car running and unattended to, because that's what the mom did. You never leave your babies alone. I don't, but I've been tempted to. Like, I just got to run in here real quick
and grab
this.
I don't want to wake him up.
I don't want to get him out of the car.
I'm going to leave it going because I want the AC still going. Yeah,
I mean, it goes through your mind, and we've all thought about it, but she says she's learned her lesson, and that will never happen again. That baby will be with her always. But also, if you don't have kids, just don't leave your car running unattended, because this could happen. Oh, a mother and son duo just began chasing their dream of becoming Detroit police officers together.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah. The mom, who currently works for the Detroit Police Department as a civilian in the tech unit, attended the department's one-day hiring event on Saturday with her son. She brought him along. The mom says working at the department really motivated her to make the jump into becoming a sworn officer. She's really excited to work her way up, and the son is excited to do it as well, and says that joining his mom means a lot to him. So
that's cool.
Pretty excited. It sounds like there was a lot of people who went to this event on Saturday.
Sure.
Yeah. Like hundreds of applicants showed up. So pretty cool. So good for them. I like that story. Everybody, including those in the world of sports, had fun recreating the whole viral Coldplay Kiss Cam scandal. Several MLB mascots got in on the fun, including the Philadelphia Phillies mascot, which they recreated the viral moment. And that was, it's exactly what the moment was. You know, I didn't realize there was a girl fanatic.
Oh,
I didn't realize there was either.
I didn't either, but yeah, I thought that was the best one because the Philly Fanatic goes diving down, and then every once in a while you'd see it peak up again, and it would dive back down.
It was great. Arizona Diamondbacks also got in on the fun. They had their mascot like canoodling with a Cardinals fan, and that was kind of different. That they also hid behind the camera, right? But then they got back up and went in for the big passionate smooch. Yeah. Savannah Bananas got in on the fun with their mascot. I did hear the tie. I didn't see pause. It wasn't home.
Right.
But I heard on the broadcast they made reference. Everyone was talking about this.
Pause has been sneaky good at trolling this year.
Very good.
There's
much
been
better.
Some good moments for
I
pause
think so
this
as
year.
Well. So ahead of the 2025 WNBA All-Star Game on Saturday, players made a statement. As they warmed up, you might have seen the players were wearing T-shirts. They were not their like official league issued
warm-ups.
Yeah. No, these were T-shirts that said "Pay us what you owe us." And this is, of course, as
the
women,
owners should award no shirts.
What the this?
You run a $40 million deficit. You do the numbers on that, and I saw it this morning. Every player would owe the owner $277,000.
But their franchise values have went way, way up.
So, for sure.
So this is as the Women's National Basketball Players Association negotiates some new collective bargaining agreements with the league. And they did have a meeting with several players and the WNBPA. And they said they agreed on a lot of things like family planning, retirement benefits, those things they agreed on. But there was a lot of things, a lot of issues that they were still very far apart on, including revenue sharing and salary.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they should do revenue sharing because they're not getting as much revenue as obviously the NBA. So, you know what? Get revenue sharing. There won't be that much money there for you.
Right. Yeah. It is. I mean, they are fighting for what they believe in. That's great. Nothing else.
If
they go on strike, who's going to care?
Exactly.
If this thing really does take off for the long term and the WNBA becomes something big,
great.
These are the ones that are laying the foundation, just like every other single sport. We mentioned Roger Staubach.
Right.
He'd have been a $50 million player in today's age.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Pay me what you owe me.
Right.
No, you got screwed in your career, John. Think about if you were playing today. Sorry. I mean, I'm bringing up throwing salt in the wound, but seriously, it's just the way it is. You got to have your pioneers. Get it in marketing. Get it in advertising.
Yes, that's right. They should wear shirts that say "Thank you, Caitlin."
You know, I'm ignorant on this. Is there a WNBA 2K video game? I have no idea.
I don't know.
I think there is one. Isn't Angel Reese supposed to be on the cover of it?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure. But that's how you make your money. Yeah. I don't know what to say. I mean,
numbers. Yeah, but is it
losing
play
money?
It? Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Heather. Yeah. Our telephone number 248-539-9797. Some Lions training camp news from yesterday, and it's not all good. 97 won the ticket.
Hey, you guys, if you're like me, you like knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your phone bill. Well, Verizon's got some big news for your peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with my plan. So if you're thinking about making the switch to Verizon, this is for you. You can get a single line for a low price of just $50 a month when you switch and bring your phone on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. And again, that price is locked in for 3 whole years. Because at Verizon, they've got your back now and in the future. So go ahead, take one thing off your worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit and ask about their 3-year price guarantee today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
No, he's not talking to himself. He's talking to Dan Petrie. 248-539-9797. Tigers win 2-1. Scooble. Oh, ho-hum. 105 pitches, 4 hits, 11 strikeouts, no walks. Nice to see that they got a win after the little six-game losing streak. Back in action tonight in Pittsburgh. against Paul Skeens and the struggling Pittsburgh Pirates. But I don't know, the under might look good in that game. They try to take as many pitches as you can to get his pitch count up and get to their other parts of their team. Although, you know, their bullpen is pretty good because the Tigers won at least one of them, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I did, by the way, Jack Flaherty pitching for the Tigers. Quick, some more texts to get to on the your favorite dull athlete, because Scottie Scheffler, he's unbelievable, but he's not exactly Mr. Excitement. Scott in Carlton says Kirk Cousins is his favorite dull athlete. I don't even know if he's dull. He's just quirky. He's weird.
Yeah, he's a little more weird, but yeah, I mean, we've seen him shirtless. We've seen him with the Jane. We've seen him with, you know, I mean.
And if you watch quarterback, he's, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grant Hill. I never thought he was dull. You know, he didn't say anything controversial. Favorite dull athlete, Joe Dumars. That's from Nick and Macomb.
He fits the bill.
Scottie Scheffler is my dull athlete. Yes, exactly. Dirk Nowitzki. I think early Dirk, yes. I think as he got older, he did some funny stuff.
He opened up. Once he got caught with the Steve Nash pictures when he was partying, they were wasted. Remember that?
Yeah. And I was thinking about Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, he's been MVP. But I think actually his dullness or lack of excitement for what he's so good at actually kind of works in reverse.
Yeah, and people, and he gets so excited when one of his horses does well or whatever overseas.
On Dumars, I'd like to defend him a little bit in that I thought he fit into the role that he was supposed to fit
Absolutely.
Into. Isaiah was a type A.
He was alpha. Yes.
And Lambeer was a very strong personality. And when Mahorn too, that I think Joe, I always felt like Joe had a little bit more personality let out because he just wanted to, he hid in the shadows the way he was supposed to.
I mean, come on. The guy knows every episode and has tape of every Sanford and Son ever made. I mean, Joe had a good sense of humor. Riley Green.
Riley Green definitely fits the bill.
Riley Green was, they had him mic'd up yesterday and they were talking to him. He was pretty good.
Yeah, but he is, I mean, he's dull. Okay. Like there's no bat flip, which that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not excited about what you do. I think he gets very excited about what he does, but he is, I think, on the duller side.
Iserman was probably my favorite dull player of all time. Not my favorite dull GM at this point, though.
I've had some people text me personally saying Steve Iserman as a player.
Mm-hmm. Mike Trout?
Mike Trout, yeah. I mean, the most. I was looking at some different websites, and one of the things that somebody had said was the most exciting thing about him is his contract. But as a player, you know, yeah, there's not, he's not a vocal guy.
No. And finally, my favorite dull athlete of all time, John Jansen.
Maybe that's why I like Scottie Scheffler. Just shows up and does his work.
Yeah.
And that's why you got under Strahan's skin so much.
Yeah.
He just showed up and did your job, you know. Couldn't let him do what he wanted to do most.
It was funny because I took the baseball team over to the Hall of Fame and the families. We all went over there, and obviously we looked at the bus, and I had to break out the line. The kids were like, "Oh, you played against this guy." I'm like, "Yeah, see that gap in his teeth?" I gave it to him.
248-539-9797. Speaking of football, Lions opened up camp yesterday. I know you and Jim will be out there next week.
Yep.
When the fans start to show up. Dan Campbell opened the press conference with some bad news concerning one of the Lions. And I think that's a big loss. Look, he's not a Pro Bowl player, but because of the McNeil situation, you have a rookie who's going to be starting. Mm-hmm. DJ Reader did not have a good year. Now maybe it takes a year for him to come back from his injury that he had 2 years ago. So you have to, hopefully he'll improve. But that position, and Levi Onwuzurike, say whatever you want about him, he did play pretty well last year.
Well, he played.
Okay, yeah, but when he was
a quality backup.
Right, exactly, and they need that.
Where I was disappointed in hearing that news, first of all, when we heard it was a minimum of four games.
Yeah.
Then we found out yesterday it was going to be the entire season. he was going to get an unbelievable opportunity. Lee McNeil, not back for, you know, for the near future. And he was going to be the guy that was most likely starting along with DJ Reader. They start to find a way to work Tyleek Williams more into the mix. He was going to have an opportunity in a contract year. A one-year deal is what he signed. And I thought if anybody was going to show up, this was going to be the year that he was finally going to be able to show up. And I'm the questions I have, and I'm surprised it wasn't asked as a follow-up, how did he hurt his knee?
Yeah.
When did he hurt his knee? And I mean, it just, you know, none of those matter right now.
Right.
Just would have been for context.
Right. If any of the media is listening right now on your way to Allen Park, because Dan's going to speak at 8 o'clock, maybe ask him that.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm guilty. I could have asked them that too. But I asked them something else.
Yes, yes. You had other things on your mind.
Yeah, the question I asked Dan Campbell yesterday, and amazingly, you watched it live, is, unless it's something intangible, what's the biggest concern you have going into this season? Now, I think Decker will be back after the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, Dan mentioned that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But right now, you look at the depth chart, and although Ratledge started at center yesterday.
Ratledge, Glasgow, Mahogany.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to be the best five that go out there? It's probably going to include those three, but where are they? Is Ratledge going to be at center? You mentioned it. He was with the ones yesterday at center. That seems to be likely, but Glasgow obviously has the experience.
Yeah.
And so between two guys that have no experience or very little experience, Christian Mahogany on one side, Ratledge on the other, do you want to put a veteran in the middle until you're confident that Tate Ratledge has the calls? He's got a little bit of experience. So, yeah, it's going to be shuffling those guys around and finding which combination is best to start the season.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Would you recommend Ratledge playing in the Hall of Fame game?
No.
Because if he gets, I mean.
No, I wouldn't. And the reason I wouldn't is because you still have three games.
Right.
You still have, you know, the full complement of what they have now in terms of three games of a preseason. So I expect that we'll see him at some point, maybe in parts of all three of those future games, but I would give him a little bit more time. I would take that opportunity to look at everybody else.
Okay. 248-539-9797. There may be somebody else on the offensive line that could do something, and he might fit something we're going to ask about Brad Holmes coming up next. That's 97.1 The Ticket.
About a year before my...
They take it on Pittsburgh tonight right here on 97.1 The Ticket. First pitch, is, I believe, it's a 6:40 game tonight. All right. Levi Onwuzurike out for the season. He was... Brad Holmes' first second-round pick.
Uh-huh.
John Jansen hated the pick at the time, and you turned out to be prophetic. A lot of it was injury-related, but still.
Well, it was effort-related in what he did
you
in
saw,
Washington.
What you saw on film, right. All right, so they have problems with the offensive line right now because of Decker, you know, retire. I'm not Decker. Ragnow retiring and Zeitler, you know, going to Tennessee via free agency. So there's another name on that list, on the depth chart, that has a chance to go down in Brad Holmes' resume as a bad draft pick. And that'd be Giovanni Manu. I mean, they traded up to get this guy out of University of British Columbia. He's right now third on the depth chart at that position as far as at left tackle. So let me ask this, 248-539-9797. Who's Brad Holmes' worst draft pick? And you can either play the app game, or I wish they would have taken this guy instead, or somebody who just bombed out. Because for the most part, we agree that Brad Holmes has pretty much hit a lot of home runs.
Oh, yeah. He's really good at the draft.
He's had some whiffs. So what's your least favorite Brad Holmes draft pick? And you know what mine is, John? And I wasn't sure until yesterday. And yesterday means nothing, probably.
Right.
Because he's still on
your experience of watching.
A little bit of practice. A little bit of watching, but not even just. It was the sequence.
Okay.
Now he's still listed on the depth chart as the number two, but the second quarterback who took snaps yesterday was Kyle Allen ahead of Hendon Hooker. So I'm going to say that Hendon Hooker in the third round, and nothing against Hendon Hooker. I hope we never see him. I hope Jared Goff never gets hurt.
Right.
Hendon Hooker at that pick in that position is going to be the worst draft pick that that Brad Holmes made.
So I'll just take this in context a little bit in regards to Hendon Hooker. A lot of people going into that draft, if Hendon Hooker hadn't been hurt, thought that he was going to be a higher pick than a third round pick, and he probably would have been. I was okay with the gamble of Hendon Hooker if he, it hasn't panned out, but taking a shot on a guy at that time that had the season he had at Tennessee, because if, everybody says, oh, he was a one-read guy. Well, coming out of college, so was Jared Goff. Jared Goff was, he had to learn the progressions in the NFL, and he has remade himself in Detroit at this stop. I'm not saying Hendon Hooker ever is able to do that, but I think the gamble of taking a quarterback in the third round, you're not paying him a lot. You could see if he develops. The first year was a wash because he wasn't even going to be able to be out there with the ACL, recovering from the ACL injury. So that's not my guy. And I am not ready to say Giovanni Manu because he was a fourth round pick. And they admitted at the time, this is a huge developmental pick. And it may be the biggest bust that they've had. I don't know. I want to see what he looks like when they put the pads on this year. I want to see if he's able to work his way up the depth chart.
It's the trading up for him, in my opinion, unnecessarily now. The hell knows? Somebody might have taken him. I don't
know. So the guy that I outside of Levi Onwuzurike, because I didn't like it at the time, the other one, and we had Brad Holmes on, and I asked him the question because I had concerns about watching him on film after they drafted. I didn't watch it before that, but they took him as Broderick Martin. That's the guy where, and I asked Brad Holmes, like, hey, when I see this guy, he plays high. And you and I talked at the time. That to me isn't something that you can just coach out of a guy. That you if you don't play with good pad level, especially at the pro level, you're going to get beat up. You're not going to be able to find a way onto the field. And Broderick Martin has not been able to find his way onto the field. That is the guy that I think he swung on and missed. And Broderick Martin even mentioned it at the time. I was getting ready, and Broderick Martin was getting ready to be a day three pick. And then all of a sudden the phone rang. And they were setting up him and his mom for the draft party the next day when he was drafted. And now I love a guy that knows where he should be drafted. Mm-hmm. It's not on him. But I just think that was a big-time reach for a guy that I don't think ever sees the field in any meaningful way for the Detroit Lions. And he is a third-round pick.
Right.
Manu's a fourth-round pick. So I think that's the biggest swing and miss.
That's very valid. 248-539-9797. Gov, who's yours?
I think the only defense of Onwuzurike is that was the draft coming off of COVID. And so the GMs were just a little bit more in the dark. The front of the draft was loaded. I mean, that draft, right. I don't know how many Hall of Famers are in the top 10 of that draft. It's going to be unbelievable. But it's to me, it's Onwuzurike. And it's like, I think the only reason he's still here, it's because Brad drafted him with a second round pick. I don't think they should have re-signed him. Like, I'm baffled by how enamored they are with this guy to continue to keep giving him chances. And he had some back issues in college, right?
Yeah, he had some back issues, had some effort issues. And he's a guy, this I said at the time of the draft, he was a guy that, hey, when he wanted to and he turned it on, he was good.
I mean, I just look at the foundation. That's his first draft. And he got Sewell, an absolute anchor, potential Hall of Famer. And you sit who was going in the second round just a little bit later, guys like Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey. Mm-hmm. Creed Humphrey could have played guard coming out of college and then moved to center with Frank's toe. It's like, man, this team is looking a lot different if you have one of those two guys. And doing it, look, he's not going to get everything right.
Right.
Right. And hindsight's always 20-20.
Creed Humphrey was practically an automatic 10-year player when he entered as a prospect. He got devalued because They had line. Already had three guys that were foundation pieces. It doesn't mean you couldn't, like, think about how good that sounds if you are, you start off your first draft with Sewell and Humphrey.
Oh, it would have been unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's it. But going back to Onwuzurike, the question I had wasn't the great moments, was when you watch the film, there would be series, there'd be quarters where he would just disappear. And it was, he was still on the field, but he would come off the ball lethargic. And like, you know, this is not, you know, that's this is in the play where I'm going to make anything happen. So I'm not going to go hard. Like, those are the issues that and it to me, knowing how Brad Holmes has drafted the guys that he has drafted, the personalities, the, you know, the culture fits, to me, Levi is just one of those guys that doesn't fit into that mold.
He didn't live up to his conference call that day. Remember that? He was saying, "Bay, he's going to like F people up or whatever."
Yeah. A lot of words.
All right. Our telephone number is 248-539-9797.